While you're turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I just want to say, maybe I shouldn't say, but amen, most people don't realize the sacrifice, amen, that, my girls in particular make when they come with dad. They are so involved in their local church, singing, playing, Sunday school, all of that, that, I guess they get frustrated with me a lot of times because I'm always trying to take my family somewhere. But I tell them all the time how much I appreciate them making the sacrifice to come with dad because they've got a lot of responsibilities, and I thank God for that. Amen. I believe our children ought to be involved in the work of the Lord, and I appreciate them coming and helping dad. Dad needs all the help he can get. Amen. And so sometimes me and mama's just not enough. We're wore out old folks. Amen. And, but, Brother Worst, don't feel sorry for me, I don't think. But anyway, we're thrilled to be here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, I did not know until today, I was doing some reading, that the word Ecclesiastes actually means assemblyman. So Solomon was an Assembly of God preacher, I guess. I don't know. He wouldn't be today, I don't guess. But anyway, it means assembly man or its spokesman, the preacher. And we're going to read some of his words of wisdom here tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now, we read all that. I want to go back to verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen. And then we read those next seven verses about the times. And so I want to preach for just a few moments here tonight from this thought: I just can't find the time. I just can't find the time. Amen. I sure need the help of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. Would you help me pray that God's perfect will would be completed in this service tonight? Come on, I believe your prayers can reach the throne room tonight. Jesus, we love you. We're honored to be in your house. We're hungry for your word, your divine direction, God. I ask you to speak to us tonight. God, open the windows of heaven. Oh, God, give us the anointing that we need to do your sacred work, God. May the will of God be done, and no flesh shall glory in your presence, God, but it all belongs to you, Lord, for we're nothing without you, and we look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And somebody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. The word everything here in our scripture text means more particularly the actions of people and the events which happen to them. The word seasons there means a fixed, definite portion of time. It is a fitting time. It refers to a divinely set or allowable time for acceptable events to unfold. And in this space of time,
where things unfold, these things are natural. It may not be pleasant and it may not be desired, but the events that unfold are natural. And we must learn to take the good with the bad. And the book said, there is a time to every purpose. And there is a purpose to every time. There is a reason for every season of life. And we have a purpose to be involved in inside every season. And we enjoy the beautiful, sunny, peaceful days. But some things only a storm can reveal. And we could never sing his praises as the great physician had we never been sick in the first place. Amen. We could never glorify him as the faithful provider or the storm calmer had there never been a need for one in the first place. We would never know the measures of his grace and his mercy and his love had we never failed God in the past. And so no wonder the writer could say, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. There is a beautiful side to every test. There is a beautiful side to every trial. There is a glorious side to every storm. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? And it's here that we see the magnificence of God in these seasons. It's in these tests and these trials and these storms where we see the splendor and the majesty of his might. And he lists 14 pairs of contrast, ranging from external circumstances to the most inner feelings of a man, teaching us that life has an ebb and a flow, that life can be a lot like the weather, somewhat predictable, but yet there can be unexpected, drastic, and sudden changes that quickly take place. Changes that are not necessarily unheard of, but yet they can take us somewhat by surprise. It can be a beautiful spring afternoon and a storm quickly arrive on the horizon. And soon peace can be replaced by chaos in just a moment of time. I'm preaching to you tonight the very obvious fact. We live in a world of changes, and it can go quickly from one extreme to the other. And because of these sudden changes, amen, insecurities come all too often along life's journey. And we must learn to depend on God each and every day. I'm going to say it again. I need God in the good times, and I need God in the bad times. I need God Sunday through Sunday. Every moment of every day, I need God in my life. Like the old song says, I can't even walk without God holding my hand. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow in his hand. Don't leave me alone, Jesus, but stay by my side. And so we understand tonight that these contrary points and times will each take center stage in all of our lives. We will become familiar with all the extremities of life. Up one day will become down, and down one day will become up. The night will become day, and the day will become night. The high will become low, and the lows will become high. And on we could say. And we take great comfort in knowing that these shifting seasons are natural. I hope you'll hear me tonight. Even God ordained, and further comfort to knowing that in the bad times, in the midst of our greatest trials, and this too shall pass, that God is not angry, and God has not turned his back on us, but life has an ebb and a flow, a good and a bad, a high point and a low point. It's all God ordained. It is a season and a time with a purpose in every life. And God has allocated moments along this journey to be filled with joy and laughter, seasons of healing and embracing, times of love and times of peace, but also for the seasons to quickly change. And mountains of victory are surrounded by valleys of sorrow. There will be times of sorrow and times of mourning, times of killing, times of weeping, times of rending, times of hate and times of war. And it's in these seasons we begin to really appreciate the good times. And in these seasons we learn the faithfulness of God, that God will bring me through every test, every trial, every storm, every night. God will bring us through. And I've come to preach to us tonight. Seasons change, but thank God for a promise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It won't always be like this. Joy shall come. Peace shall come. The sun will shine again. Oh, let's give God some praise tonight. I am thankful that the Word of God leaves us a few testimonies. The psalmist said, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." I want to tell somebody, if God did it once, God can do it again. Come on, somebody. I have been young and now am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Amen. This is why we shout in the tough times. This is why I can shout in my storm. He's never failed me. He's never left me alone. He's always been right by my side. And God's proven time and time and time again, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's never left me alone. In my darkest time, God was there. In my worst valley, God was always there. And I want to tell somebody, if you're going through a valley tonight, you can still shout. Walk with confidence and hold your head high. For I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I've got great faith in a great God. It may be dark. It may be low. It may be hard. But God is always by my side. It's just a season called life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want to tell you, there's nothing like praising God in a storm. Oh, a few things exemplify faith. Like shouting when your world's falling apart. Like giving God praise when you don't feel like giving God praise. When your world's getting turned upside down. Amen. When your season is not the best season of life. And you still say, I'm going to church. I'm going to sing. I'm going to shout. I'm going to run. I'm going to dance. You want to know why? Because God is still God. And this is a season of my life. But bless God, I'll shout my way through. I'll praise my way through. I'll dance my way through. It's a season. Tell you what, the devil can't stand somebody that can give God praise when he knows their world's being turned upside down. I read the other day about Zacharias and Elizabeth, and I won't get into it. You can read it yourself. The Bible says they were barren, but they were blameless. Didn't get their son. Didn't get their promise. But they were blameless before God until he came. I want to tell somebody, it's how you wait that matters. Oh, I wish I had some help here tonight. You're going to go through a storm. It's how you go through the storm that counts. There's going to be some low points in your life, but that's a season, and that season has a purpose devised and designed by God. And God's watching your attitude while you wait, your mindset while you're in your valley. And you can murmur and complain and grumble and gripe and pout all you want, honey. And it may not change until your attitude changes. I made up my mind when I'm going through a storm, keep my head up and say, God, you're still alive and well, and I give you my best praise. Solomon starts with a time to be born and a time to die. The beginning of a human life and the end of a human life. And everything else he lists will take place in that window of time. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time for this, a time for that. A time for this, a time for that. On and on he goes. 14 times. A time for this, a time for that. Again, covering the entire spectrum of the human existence. Pointing out the extremities of a man's life. The changes that life will bring. Far too many Pentecostals know what I'm talking about. How God, or your life can turn so quickly. One phone call. One day on the job. One thing can take your sunny, beautiful day into hurricane-like winds that fast. And the writer's telling us that God has allocated places along life's road to enjoy and or endure spiritual and physical highs and lows. And when we read this, we fully examine this arduous journey. When we study the extremities of seasons in a man's life, and nowhere do I find a season to quit. Nowhere do I find the time to give up. A time for this and a time for that. A time for this and a time for that. But nowhere did God say, I reserve the space for man to say, I give up. I can't make it. That's because God understands in your worst time, you can make it. In your lowest valley, hang in there, child of God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw that towel in. But hold on and say, God, by your grace and mercy, I can make it. I can ride this thing out. I'm holding on with all I have. I'm not quitting the race. Somebody lift your hands and praise the Lord. Come on, give God some praise. I'm not backing up. I'm not quitting. I've got a made up mind. Even though he tells us there will be seasons of tremendous pain and tremendous suffering, you can't quit. Times in our lives that have the potential to produce bitterness and angry feelings, you can't quit the race. Days filled with weariness and disappointment, that's God ordained, God allocated. You can't quit. You can't stop now. Nowhere did God say it's going to get that bad. You can go home and throw that time. No. Keep coming back to prayer meeting, back to church, back to fasting, back to revival, back to the house of God. But you cannot give up. There's no space reserved for a quitter, which tells me when I read that, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because there's just no time found to quit. You know what that tells me? The night won't be that long. The valley won't be that low. The season won't be that bad. The time won't be that bad. The trial won't be that severe. You can make it, friend. He will not put more on you. You can bear, friend. It's just a season in your life where God says, I'm going to take you and shape you and mold you and begin to stretch you. Because we sang that song. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. We came to the altar that day and said, God, use me for your glory. And God says, all right, I'm going to take you. But I can't take you like you are. I've got to turn you into a vessel that can hold what I want to hold. And so God can't do that if it's always sun shining in your life. God can't do that if it's always a time of love and peace and joy. But however God does it, in the book of Job, God stepped back and let Satan turn Job's world upside down. However God does it, but a phone call, a dry season, a spirit of hell attacks your life. And we can say, God, have you even have a clue where I'm at? God said, I know right where you're at. This is a season of life. This is a divine time in your life. I've appointed, amen. I'm going to take you and shape you and mold you. I'm going to stretch you, and you're going to learn I'm a faithful God. You're going to learn by your sickness. I'm going to heal your body. It may not be tonight, and it may not be next week. It may be 6 months later, but I'm going to step back and watch. Can you praise me with cancer in your body? Can you still shout when you lose your job? Can you still be faithful when you lose your mind? Can you stay in the race when you don't feel like it? God has a purpose to every time of life. And we can't quit. Why should we quit? We don't need to quit. This church needs you too much. Our world needs God. Our churches need revival. And you're too valuable to the work of God. Who, me? Yeah, you. Little old me? Yeah, little old you. This church needs your prayers. This church needs your days of fasting. This church needs your hand clap. It needs your worship. It needs your aisle running. It needs your door knocking. It needs your witness. This church needs everybody and a whole lot more. God, send a shaking. God, send awakening to remind us, Lord, we're way too content. We're way too passive. Our visions become way too narrow. And God, remind us, amen, why sit we here till we die? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to lay down and die. I'm going to fight my way through my season and come out shining like pure gold. God, get glory out of my life. Oh, let's praise the Lord together. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You can't quit. You can't back off. You can't get bogged down. You can't become distracted. Amen. Tell you what, there's an old saying, knowledge is power. I've had to do that too many times. Just feeling sorry for myself, Pastor Worst. I know none of y'all have ever done that. Just woe is me. I got it so bad. I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of this. And you end up murmuring and complaining. You know what it does? It affects your prayer life. Even when you do come pray, it's just poor, pitiful me. Boy, we're really going to have revival that way, aren't we? Boy, I came to church, Brother Worst, and I prayed 2 hours today. You did? Let's roll back the tape and hear what it was all about. God, help me. God, I feel sorry for myself. God, I'm going through a storm. I'm going through a trial. There comes a day when finally it just dawned on me. What are you doing, son? God gets no glory out of your sorry attitude. You know what the devil hates is when you say, it ain't about me and what I'm going through right now. Hell's fighting me for a reason. And I've made up my mind. I may go through a storm, but I'm going to go through with a praise on my lips and a dance in my feet. Amen. God, somewhere there's a work you can do, God. Whatever you're doing in me, God, have your way, God. But make me a better man, God. Shape me. And God, mold me. And God, stretch me. But God, there's a reason I'm going through this storm right now. And many times God wants to take that mirror of truth and say, look in that mirror. But if we're so busy blaming everybody else for our problems, if we're so busy blaming everybody else, well, they've got a problem, and he's got a problem, and the church got a problem, and maybe we've got the problem. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes God's got to really turn our world upside down before we ever stop long enough to say, oh, God, maybe it's me. Maybe there's something in me you don't like, God. We turn that mirror, and we look at ourselves, and God said, that's what I've been trying to show you. You've got a sorry attitude.
Been there.
You got a rotten spirit. Guilty as charged. You're so concerned about you and your little wants and your little life. Sorry, God. Maybe you ought to spend more time on your face saying, God, anoint my man of God. God, give us revival. God, reach backsliders in this city, God. It ain't about me right now, God. It's about you and your will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I know I'm saying the same thing I said this morning, but oh, Pentecost, we've gotten so self-serving. All about me and my four. No. It's about the will of God. God, take me and use me for your glory, God. Shape me and mold me, God. And make me a man you can use. God says to every season, there's a purpose. If you're going through a storm right now, instead of murmuring and complaining and begging God to stop it and get you out of it, why not say, hey, God, let the scales remove from mine eyes, God. There's something you want to show me. There's something you're trying to tell me, God. And you just wait to that next service. When the man of God walks to a pulpit and says, I just feel like saying something tonight. And it hits you right between the eyeballs. And you say, okay, God, I got the picture, Lord. And you come around the altar and say, God, woe is me. God, woe is me. I'm telling somebody, everything you go through in life, God can use that to make you a better saint of God, to be a better witness. Amen. Let's don't quit in the valley. Let's don't quit in the storm. Let's become better because of the trial. Be better because of the storm. Don't let it knock you out. Let it make you get closer to God. I've lost you tonight. I'm sorry. But oh, there's a reason. There's a reason. You say, I'm tired. I'm sorry. You can't quit. You say, I'm wounded. I'm sorry. You can't quit. I looked. It's not in the Bible. You can't quit. No time to quit. No time to back off. No time to slow down. Honey, you got to fight for this thing. I tell you what, I tell people, if you feel like quitting, it's not because you just come out of a red hot prayer meeting. If you feel like quitting, it's not because you come out of a red hot prayer meeting. Hey man, if you feel like throwing the towel in, it's not because you come off of a 3-day fast. I was at a conference just a few weeks ago. Had a lay preacher in a church that I preached in several times. He said, Brother Green, he said, my sister-in-law needs help. She needs help, and my pastor's not here. And he said, I know you know the situation. He said, would you mind come praying with her? And I didn't really feel comfortable doing it, so I walked over there to be nice. And what's going on? She told me her problem. She said, I can't get this out of my heart, out of my spirit. She said, I pray. She said, I fast. I just can't get past it. I said, well, how long do you fast? She said, well, I fast a day and I can't get past it. I said, well, maybe you need to fast your way through. I said, try going on a 3-day fast. See what that does for you. And you know what? she wanted past this spirit that was trying to destroy her. And if her pastor told me correctly, she might have started that night. I saw her a few weeks later. She said, "Brother Green, just got to tell you, I went on a 3-day fast like you said, and that thing broke inside of me." Amen. I'm going to tell you what, it was so easy for that girl to say, "Well, I guess it just ain't going to work for me. I guess God just don't love me. I guess I just can't make it." But somewhere she said, "I got to make it. I've got no choice but to make it. I'm going to pray yet the more. I'll fast yet the more. I'm going to give yet the more, because I've got no choice. I've got to hear God say, 'Well done, felt good and faithful servant.' It's just a season of my life." And far too many people stop the race in the low seasons. Far too many people quit and give up in the tough times. But we've got to tell the devil, "The darker the night, the harder I'm going to fight. Amen. God is for me and not against me. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold." Somewhere in all this season, God's going to show me the man that I am and make me a better man. Make me a better child of God. A better preacher. A better singer. A better soul winner. A better saint. Too much that God has yet to do. God's not done. There's too many backsliders in Augusta, Kansas. If you join the masses, how are you going to reach them? Too many broken marriages God wants to fix. Don't give up, child of God. Keep on praying. Keep on praying for that lost loved one. Keep on praying for your spiritual dreams. Amen. Don't give up. Joseph, don't die in a prison. It's all part of the process. David, don't get mad when you're dodging javelins in Saul's house. God's just trying to knock the Saul out of you, David, because God don't want another Saul on the throne. It is a season that has a purpose. So what's our job? In every season, find the purpose of the season. God, all right, something's not right here, God. God, I feel like you're 1,000 miles away. God, you're trying to get my attention. God, I got a phone call today. God, life is rocking right now. God, you can do one of two things: get mad and quit the church, or let that propel you closer to God. You got an attitude. You can sell out and throw yourself off of a cliff like Judas. Or you can be like that woman who pressed her way through the press. "I better touch the hem of his garment. This is gonna draw me closer to him. I'm not gonna quit in my storm." It's not allowable anywhere in the Word of God. But I'm gonna use this time to seek the face of God and say, "All right, God, what are you trying to show me in this season, Lord? Put me on the altar, God. Put me on the potter's wheel, God. And make me better." What are you doing, Brother Green? I'm trying to encourage this church. I'm trying to encourage somebody. Hold your head up. God's not forsaken you. God's not forgotten about you. I feel a lying spirit on somebody. Devil, you're a liar. Amen. It's not that God hates you and God's tired of you. No, God loves you. God's crazy about you. And God's using this season to draw you closer to him. Let's stand, lift our hands to the Lord together. Come on. Let's stand all across this house and lift our hands and our hearts and our voices. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had a revelation of what seasons are all about. They come and they go. If
few months ago, I was here. It was cold. I came back, though. It ain't cold no more. For all of you that don't like sweating, hang around. It's going to get cold yet again. You're going to get sick of it being cold and want it hot, and it's going to get up to whatever y'all get around here. And be like, oh, God, it's so hot. It's seasons. If we didn't have four seasons a year, there's a lot of things we would not have. Just understand it now. You're going to go through seasons. As an individual, as a church, life has ebb and flow. It's how you deal with it that's going to determine your success. And by the grace of God, if God ever looks at you and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know why God's going to be able to say that about you? Because during the ebb and the flow, you never let go. It never got so bad. It never got so dark. The valley never got so long that you ever lost your grip on truth. Oh, a sad day it's going to be when the rapture sounds, and the church is taken out of this world, and there's a sea of backsliders that have to say, why did I ever leave? Why did I let that storm knock me out? I'm going to tell you what, child of God. When you go through a few storms and you watch God lead you through, it'll take your praise and your relationship with God to a whole nother level. Because you've weathered some storms together. And you can honestly say, I have been old, young, and now I'm old. And in all these seasons, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Brother Green, you don't know what I'm going through tonight. You're right, I don't know what you're going through, but I still have your answer. Fall upon the rock. Brother Green, you don't know how upside down my world is right now. You don't know the pain I'm living with. Could it be that pain you're living with, instead of it knocking you out of the church, it could propel you closer in the church, and give God your pain, and give God your sorrow, and give God your feelings, and embrace the feet of Jesus. And say, God, in this trying time of my life, I'm not going to drift further away. I'm going to be drawn closer to you, God. And God, the harder it gets, please, God, the more I want your hand on me, God. God, don't leave me, Lord. Don't leave me, Lord. And I don't want to leave you, God. That's all part of this contract we talked about this morning. It's in the covenant. He'll never leave you and never forsake you, friend. And this too shall pass. Come on, somebody. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You're going to make it, child of God. I want to encourage somebody. You can be victorious. You can make it through every test, every trial, every storm, every heartache. So lift your hands. Let's worship the Lord together. Come on. Why don't you step out of your pew and gather around the altar today. Lift your hands. God, I'm determined to weather every storm. Yes, Jesus. Come on, be encouraged, child of God. Oh, yes. Come on, that's it.